Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania runs wild on you, brother? This is Tom. I'm with Jeff. This is The Payoff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing, my friend?
I am ready to eat my vitamins, say my prayers, like all this good stuff, my friend. It's gonna be a good episode.
Well, these are my two favorites of all time.
They are.
So, yeah, I'm very excited to cover this one
with Marty Jannetty a close third. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get him on here one of these days. But dude, I am pumped for this one. So let's get the business out of the way. Payoff Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Payoff Pod. Hit us up. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Everyone seems to be good at that. They just like to point out when we mess up on things. And we're doing our best here. Believe it or not, Jeff and I do not do The Payoff as our main source of income.
And we were not there for all of these events. That I wish we were, but
what's so funny, Jeff? Here's the irony of it, right? Someone that says to us, oh, well, you know, you mistakenly said, you know, this or that, you know, on your last episode. That's the same person that's been a 15-year subscriber of Meltzer and believes every piece of bullshit that guy's written for 15 years.
Yeah. Hey, I got worked by Pat McAfee and Adam Cole. So I fall for it too.
So that was a work?
As far as I think it was, I mean, you and I even say, like, we're always getting worked whether we are or not. So we're getting worked. I'm sure we are.
Oh my God. You get worked more often than I do.
I do fall for it, man. It's still real to me. Damn it. I
don't such a fucking mark.
I'm a mark. Right.
Yeah. So why do you want to cover this episode?
This, I'll be honest, this was your match. Like, you picked this one for us. And so I did my homework, though. I did my due diligence. I double-checked, triple-checked my facts. But this is one I know that, like you said, like just two of your kind of top people. I say we've been nipping around this one for a while. We've done some HBK matches. We've done some Hogan matches. So it was just kind of time for us to do a Hogan versus HBK match.
I love how he pinned it on me. Like, oh, well, you wanted to cover this. I'm Jeff. I am so sorry for making you watch the main event of the second biggest show of the year, in which the greatest in-ring performer of all time goes up against the biggest star in the history of the business. I am so sorry for making you watch that.
Well, you know, I'm going to find a way to get through it. I'm sure I'll be okay, but we'll see what happens.
You'll be fine. So I'm pumped about this one. Again, my two favorites of all time. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to dissect. So let's jump right into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So SummerSlam 2005. We are at the MCI Center, which is in Washington, D.C. It's been the host to a whole bunch of wrestling shows, both WWF, WWE, and WCW. The headline, Hogan Michaels. I mean, this was absolutely 100% built around this show. Jeff, we've actually covered this card before because we covered the ladder match for custody of Dominic between Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero. So we don't need to go through too much of this. Again, the highlights are that really short 5-minute Edge and Matt Hardy match, which after all that build in real life was just such a letdown. Yeah, you didn't get a whole lot on this show. Your world title matches 7 and 8, were Cena defeating Jericho to keep the title and Batista defeating JBL to keep the title. Both guy probably won in both those matches. But again, a very uneventful card overall. This was all about Hogan and Michaels, they'd go 21 minutes. We're going to cover it. And, you know, Jeff, I have to take all of the dirt sheet stuff that I read with a grain of salt, but you know, the behind the scenes on this match was very much that they weren't sure what was going to happen. And then, you know, they were negotiating right up to it. And Hogan demanded to win with the leg drop. If they had a rematch, Hogan wanted to win again. So the point to this is Jeff gives the build, as we talk about the aftermath later on, is that, you know, what probably could have been a really cool multi-match scenario, we just didn't get it. We just kind of got this one match, and there were a lot of tension on both sides leading into it. So, Jeff, storyline standpoint, Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan, Shawn's back from his back injury. Hogan's a part-timer. Is he still wrestling? Like, what the hell's going on? How the hell do we get to these two headlining this massive match?
Yeah, and this is one where, like you said, just kind of the timing kind of worked it out of this one. So you had these two is the main event kind of going into this one. You actually had before this, it was April 4th, Michaels feuding with Muhammad Hassan and Daivari, and which, you know, just a top caliber feud. You know, Michaels maybe trying to put over the younger guys at this point, but he, you know, they were kind of attacking each other, and then Michaels wanted a match, but they said they'd only give him a match if he had a partner. So Hogan actually returning, coming back to be his partner through this match. It was at Backlash May 1st, 2005. So a couple months before all this one. So, you know, Hogan showing up, kind of doing that. So then you kind of fast forward a little bit. Hogan disappeared after this one. He wasn't seen again for a couple of months, early July. He came back, and I had forgotten about this one. It was Carlito's Cabana, his, you know, talk show that he had, which, you know, that shit, it's never worked. Who knows? But, you know, him kind of having the talking, other than Miz TV, you know, but he came back for that. You had, though, Carlito, and it was actually Kurt Angle, you know, reality working into kayfabe, making fun of Hogan's real life daughter, Brooke, you know, saying some inappropriate things about her. But then eventually the two of them attacking Hogan and going after him after Hogan, of course, getting pissed off because of what they were saying about his daughter. Michaels actually came out to help Hogan at this point. They had a match later that night, actually, after the segment, made official, you know, they give the crowd what they want and give them this match. So you had that match, but then after the match, though, kind of starting to set up this storyline, you had Michaels giving the sweet chin music to Hogan and then leaving. And so, you know, tag teams, you know, some tag teams just not meant to be, and this one and not meant to be. So, you know, Michael's leaving after giving him the super kick. So the next week, returning to Piper's Pit, another good segment as well there. Well, I'll give that one a good credit where credit's due. Michael's appearing on Piper's Pit and challenging Hogan to a match, for the first time, one-on-one, just the two of them going after the tag team the following week. So now we're just, you know, kind of slowly weekly progression on this one, starting that July 4th, it was July 4th, and kind of moving to where we are now for this SummerSlam. Hogan accepting the challenge 1 week later. So, you know, kind of playing out that way. Now there's the time you said it, like this, it was August 21st was this SummerSlam. You had really some interesting pieces to this, because if you kind of go back and watch some of it, a lot of the promos actually helped and probably put this match over more than, you know, it should have in a lot of ways. You know, Hogan and Michaels in 2005, is that necessarily a match that, you know, is it going to be like maybe if it was 1995? No. But this one, one of the interesting pieces of the promo of this one, and I had forgotten about this until I kind of read it and went back and watched it, but it was a few days leading up to this, and it was actually Montreal. It had wrestling in town that night. It was Raw was, you know, there, and Michaels, and of course Montreal, as we all know. I feel like something happened in that town with Michaels. I don't remember. It was a thing. Maybe it was a thing. We'll look it up later. But you know, the two of that, or the two of them, really, Michaels and Montreal, not being big, but as much as they are, you know, against Michaels in that city, Michaels coming out and saying, "Who's your daddy, Montreal?" So, it's just kind of funny how that played out at that time. And so while it wasn't a great promo, it was definitely like, you got like very few wrestlers could walk into like a town like Montreal after, you know, the Montreal screw job, like one of the biggest wrestling storylines ever. And who's your daddy, Montreal? Like, that takes some balls. I got to give him credit for that one. And so, you know, it's trolling the audience that way. Like, that's pretty good. And so I say, again, like some of these quick build as well, really just a couple months, you know, it was just so much of this, even in this 2000s. And, you know, we just don't get these super long year builds or anything like that anymore. But just a quick build, you know, it kind of made sense with just, you know, super kick is all it takes and we're going to have a feud. So that's how we got here. What are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, the build was good. I mean, the only thing I didn't like was they weren't sure whether to like go all in on Sean being a heel. Once they did and he really let loose, the program got better. But when it was kind of like, oh, shucks, you know, we should have a match, it really picked up once Michaels got pissed. And part of that heelishness was the fact that he was pissed off behind the scenes. So that's what really made it better. Do yourself a favor, go back and watch when Sean first brings Hogan out to Raw. The pop that Hogan gets, that was the April 4th edition, Jeff, that you were talking about. And then the May 1st backlash when Hogan comes out and partners with Michael. Dude, the place went absolutely batshit crazy for both of those. Really fun to watch. And you kind of forget they happened because of, you know, there's been a million moments of wrestling. So I thought those were both fun. So let's dig into the payoff of this feud. We're at the 2 hour and 25 minute mark of SummerSlam 2005. If you want to watch along, they're both in the ring. Match is about to get started. Again, 2 hour, 25 minute mark of SummerSlam 2005. Jeff, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
All right, dude, both in the ring. Hogan warming up. Michaels being the heel, bailing out. You don't see much of this from Michaels because basically he wasn't a heel his last run. Yeah, kind of a little bit with Taker, but not really. But like, you never saw it like Sean do this. So it was definitely a different style of match with him really truly being kind of a little bit of a cowardly heel against Hogan. Not that I don't like it, but it's different.
So, and we're going to see, and so you and I touched on it, and as I was kind of reading some of the reviews, it's a little bit of a spoiler here, that there was a lot of behind the scenes drama that we now know about going on with this match.
So much.
That, yes, you said two matches where, you know, they were supposed to, you know, one wins one wins the other. I read three matches, like, you know, that, you know, they were supposed to, you know, DQ and kind of trade off and all this other stuff. And so, but Hogan wasn't having any of it. So it was just one of those things where, you know, he – there's another way to put it than Hogan was being Hogan. And
yeah,
so
it blows your mind because, you know, Hogan obviously liked making money. He liked being the main event. I guess he just had in his mind, he did not want to lose. Now, granted, I mean, after this, we still got all the bullshit he did in TNA. I think that world tour that he did with Flair was after this. So like there was a lot of just shitty ass wrestling that Hogan did after this. Here's the thing with Hogan is like, from an ego standpoint and a money standpoint, why wouldn't you want to do three matches with Shawn? Like, it's no different than Taker. Like, he wanted to wrestle AJ. Like, I wish that Hogan, I just don't think Hogan, like, necessarily cared. Like, I wish Hogan would have said, dude, how about, not that I haven't cemented my legacy, but what if I really cement my legacy by main eventing SummerSlam against Shawn, getting a win in a classic match? Sean demanding one more and us doing a steel cage match and me being able, you know, me losing to him, but maybe he sneaks out of the cage, you know, he gets a one off of me. And then finally, our final match, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, whatever that is, it's Shawn Michaels, it's Hulk Hogan for the final time to settle this best of three. And we're going to do a no holds barred match. We're going to do a last man something, right? Like some big blow off. And they have this classic trilogy where Shawn's the heel the entire time. And I know I'm fantasy booking here, but this is kind of what they were trying to do with this whole feud. And they didn't do it just because Hogan's a pain in the ass to deal with. And guess what? He earned his keep. He can call his creative shots. He can demand to win. He can do whatever he wanted to in this era. If they didn't want him, they didn't have to bring him in. Like, he earned that right, okay? But I just wish that he would have saw a little bit more of, you know, like here's the difference with him and Taker, right? Don't you get the impression, especially watching the Taker documentaries, that he cares about his legacy? He cares about having a great match. He wants the best workers to wrestle with. Like, that's the difference, like, with him and Hogan, is I just never felt like Hogan, like, had that great match with The Rock and probably was like, that's incredible, and he wanted it to be great, but, like, I just wish that Hogan wanted some of his other stuff to be great in this era. That being said, not to make an excuse for him, but, you know, money issues, divorce problems, you know, back and forth with Vince. I'm sure Shawn wasn't the easiest to deal with. So I get all those things. But again, and I'll get off my soapbox here, but I'll just say that I wish that Hogan would have wanted to have a classic trilogy with Shawn, and they could have just really made some money together. And again, really at his age, to say, you know, we did something really special and memorable.
Well, and even like, and we don't fantasy book a lot around here, but like they do the three big pay-per-views at this point. Like, okay, so you start at SummerSlam, you do one at Survivor Series, which Hogan has a lot of ties to Survivor Series. And then you cap it off at, you could skip Rumble and then do it at Mania. Yeah. And like, and this is one of those where, you know, a lot of matches don't need a belt. These guys definitely don't need a belt, shouldn't have a belt. And so, you know, in doing it that way and kind of having it, and maybe, yeah, you have them, you know, kind of lose and kind of, you know, have a weird interaction at the Royal Rumble, and that's how you get it. So now something to point out here is Michael's selling.
Selling or overselling?
Thank you. Yes. That was going to be my next line here of that. Michaels, and obviously I say that how this was booked and like Michaels knowing that this was going to be the only one that he was going to get, Michaels overselling to a degree that is almost comical with how far he's flying across the ring when he was draped over the two ropes in the two ropes in the corner and then getting kicked by Hogan and then launching himself about 3 feet in the air, like more than Michaels would normally do. And just some kind of basic shots here. So I think you're seeing a little bit of the receipts from Michaels knowing that Hogan was booking as an asshole in this one.
That's correct.
And so throughout this whole match, yeah,
I'm just trying to, I'm just trying to figure out if it's like too much or not enough. Man, it's right on the edge.
And see, and I already think it's too much compared to a normal Shawn Michaels sell. And so he's twisting and flipping and all kinds of other shit outside of the ring. And you got to figure Hogan is probably pissed off too at this point. And so the chemistry of this match, and like I think we've said it on the show, and a lot of people say it, like, at least I know my brother and I say it all the time, like, it's very much like a Randy Orton. If Randy Orton doesn't want to be in a match, you can tell. And this is one where these two guys do not, you know, really, you know, you figure Michaels more than Hogan does not want to be in this match right now.
Well, look at Randy Orton right now. He's motivated. He cares. He's doing the best stuff of his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, and I get like, you know, Michaels, you know, and they, you know, the stories are legendary at this point and the kind of their attitudes and how they act. And Michael's flipping over the ring, but it's just one of those where, you know, these two guys, like Michael's did put a lot of younger guys over in his career. So you can't fault that and kind of him doing the work from time
to
time.
He always did. He always took, yeah, it was never.
But these guys like Hogan, I couldn't ever imagine Hogan, you know, didn't putting over the younger guys, giving them the opportunity. Like, you know, you heard a lot about in that kind of dark side of the ring stuff and talk like Hogan's booking of especially like, or, you know, dominating over the cruiserweights and things like that. It just wasn't ever going to happen because of him.
Yeah, but the issue isn't, hey, you know what, Hogan's going to win. The issue is that Hogan just didn't respect Sean at all, wouldn't even consider putting him over the second time if they wrestled again. If he did a trilogy, he wanted to win all three times. Like, I don't know. I mean, he just had no respect for the guy. I mean, he just had no respect for, you know, anything that they were doing at this time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I mean, so far it's a good match, man. I mean, for Hogan at this stage of his career, I mean, this thing's been fat. I mean, they've been on the go. There hasn't been a rest hold. You know, they've been moving. It's been pretty damn good.
And to your point, the overselling from Michaels that I actually, it's, I say hiding some of Hogan's faults. That's what I put. Oh, and then the giant twisting flip from Michaels into the corner. You know, we're used to, but, and then just slapping Hogan. That's actually pretty funny. Oh man, these cells are incredible. You know, we always encourage everybody to watch our matches, but this one you absolutely need to make sure to watch. Because I had forgotten just how crazy it was. There's the award winners or the trip winners sitting front row in their matching t-shirts. Yeah, and this is one too. Is this the case of Michael's, his worst case of overselling? Probably. Hard
by
to say.
Far. Oh, I think by far.
Yeah. They're outside the ring now, and Hogan has power slammed or, you know, just suplexed Michaels onto the table and kind of hitting out. You can almost see Hogan's frustration.
Yo, no, you absolutely can. I mean, he knows what's going on.
Yeah. And so, and he's, you know, Michaels making him put in the work. The Spanish announce table, it's a poor table. And Michael's almost taking out the cameraman at this point.
Do they even count guys out anymore?
So I bought my brother the official rules of WWE book. It's just the longest 10 count either. And I still like one guy rolls in and the count resets or, you know, someone, you know, things like that. Just they don't do it a whole lot anymore. Boy, that was just terrible selling from Hogan too. And popping right back up, almost no selling it. Which is kind of funny.
Did he blade there? Wouldn't surprise me if he starts bleeding heavily here.
Yeah, and him just. So is this, if you had to say when, it's almost hard to say, but when should Hogan have retired? Do you have like, you know, when was he, you know, I say, when was he past his prime? And I know everyone's answer is going to be different on that one.
I don't so much look at it as Hogan wrestled past his prime. I don't care about that because, you know, it's Hulk Hogan. It's not someone that, I don't think Hogan ever embarrassed himself in the ring. I mean, even the TNA stuff, it's just like, you just look stupid wearing a white t-shirt and black jeans and doing a blade job against Sting. You just look like an idiot. Like, Hogan by nature of like the way he worked at this stage of his career, he could still have a really good match, right? I mean, he's still moving around just fine. So I don't look at it as like he
waited too long to quote unquote retire. The issue with Hogan and the mistake he made, and I won't even say mistake, everything worked out fine. He made a lot of money. I just wish that him and Vince could have figured out the right way for him to ride off into the sunset. Like, what's the, you know, what's the, because even in this era, remember, Hogan wasn't even working WrestleMania much. Like, he worked this SummerSlam, he worked the Backlash, whatever, before. He worked SummerSlam 06 against Orton, which I think that might have been his last WWF match, if I'm not mistaken. But my point is that, you know, he could still work, but they just never, again, because the massive blade job from Hogan there. I knew it was coming just because they were throwing him into the ring steps. Or into the ring pole, but the issue was, again, it's just, I know there's egos involved, there's money involved, like 2020 hindsight, but it's, why can't we, while Hogan could still work, why can't we give him the WrestleMania send off? Like, why can't he? And he just never did. And maybe Orton was the right guy because he was in a feud with Orton's father, you know, I don't know. And he could have won. I mean, it's not like he had to lose, but it's just, he just didn't have that moment. But think about how many times they've botched the end. They did a horrible job with Angle this year. You know, I mean, they've done plenty of other guys where, I don't know. So my issue wasn't, oh, Hogan overstayed his welcome, he shouldn't wrestle as long as he did, blah, blah, blah. No problem there. But, man, shouldn't Hogan's last match have been in a WrestleMania ring?
Yeah, and that's just like, you know, and so much of it, like, if he had written his own story, because then, like, now it's all scandal-ridden too. And, you know, the half apologies we hear about in the locker room and just kind of, you know, all of that stuff. It's really, you know, he just didn't, you know, who knows? And I'm with you in regards to, you know, tell the story. And that's something that, how many wrestlers have really had good send-offs in the last 10 years? I mean, because too, and I think it speaks to like the ego and especially like the legacy piece of it. Like, you get someone like Taker, like, okay, you know, he has good match, bad match, good match, bad match, good match. Okay. But I want to have another good match. Like, I understand that mentality. Like, I know, yeah. I had some people give me some shit about, Hogan just dripping. You can tell the straight line and not a great blade.
Oh, but, horrible. I know.
You can just see where he did it. And so, and yeah, anyways, I know I caught a lot of shit when I said, I don't think, well, Undertaker might be retired. I don't think it's the last we've seen of him in the ring.
Either. Of course not.
And like, hey, that's fine. Like, that's wrestling. That's why we disagree with these types of things. But, you know, who knows what that's going to look like. And while he, you know, sure, he's retired, so was Edge. Like, you know, so were some of these other, and I think that legacy plays such a big piece of it. And like he said, he never officially said, I am retired at the end of that. But he also, to me, and again, this is me, you know, KFAB and it's not dead and all this other stuff. Like, you know, he said, if Vince need me, I'd come back. And I think Hogan, in a lot of ways, it was some of the same of like, you know, if wrestling needed me, I would come back. Right. And I think there's very few guys like Michaels kind of quietly, you know, just kind of went off into the sunset. You know, Triple H still having matches, you know, the longest matches on some of these cards. Is that really the thing to do? I don't know. Like, but it was my kind of soapbox rant this episode of just like, you know, hard to see if these guys are, you know, when do you go out? It's hard.
Both guys down right now. Hogan broke up the sleeper. I mean, he is bleeding. All right, here we go. Sean is up.
The giant blood spot in the ring. It's always great.
I hate those Hogan tights, by the way. The like red and yellow tie-dye. I just hate it. I mean, he was probably too old to be wearing the traditional trunks, but yeah, I just wasn't a fan, man. Just never a fan. Sean, oh, missed the elbow. Oh, Hogan's up.
Of course.
Hogan's moving around really well in this match. I mean,
time to Hulk up. Yep.
Going for the Hulk up already. Oh, ref bump.
Oh, you just knew it was coming. The ref laid out, selling like Michaels, just rolling to the outside. And both guys laid out in the middle of the ring at this point. Covered in blood, too. I got, you know, that's interesting, especially when he had him in that headlock and just kind of squeezing the blood out of him. Like,
they did some weird stuff with Hogan in this era, man. Cause, like, remember they had, I mean, you know, it's just so funny thinking like him in a tag match against Muhammad Hassan, like, whatever, I guess. But, yeah, Orton was a good opponent, but you know, some of the Mr. America stuff they did, some of the goofy shit they did with Hogan, I don't know. I just, it's, Brock Lesnar, one of the ways he's changed the business is he's really defined how you can use a part-timer at a very, very high level, okay? And they just weren't able to ever figure that out prior. Like, less is more. Like, every Lesnar match means something. Most of the matches have been pretty damn good and entertaining, even if they've been short. Like, they just should have done this with Hogan in this era, but they just didn't know how to do that. Like, I would have loved to have had 2 or 3 years of Hulk Hogan 3 times a year. You know, give me the Shawn Michaels dream match. Give me him against Orton. You know, who are some other younger guys at this era that would have been really good? I just wish we would have got that, man.
Well, and this is, and I didn't really talk about this in the build, but this is one where Hogan at this point, like this year, became a Hall of Famer. And so, yeah, like 2005 is when he was inducted.
Oh, and so this was the year he got inducted. Okay, so so they called him because he was like kind of on the outs. He was doing the VH1 show. They called him to be in the Hall of Fame. He thought it was really cool. And then the next night, that was the one where he came out and Eugene was getting picked by Muhammad Hassan. So, okay, so he came out for that. And then, yeah, and then
there was part of that too, but and also Eric Bischoff was involved in setting up this storyline because he was general manager at the time of Raw. You also had and it was just a few months prior to this, and I had forgotten about this as well too. Like Hogan Knows Best, his TV show, and so part of him, and that was on E, I think.
No, I have VH1.
VH1. Yeah. VH1. You're right, and so, but he had. Like part of the build to him, another ref bump. Yep. I looked away for 2 seconds. Yep. And so another ref had come in. Yep. So, you know, part of the build to him going into the Hall of Fame in that WrestleMania moment, if you will, was on the show. And so Hogan was, I get it too, like why this match going to happen, because you start factoring in all of that. There's TV to promote, like, you know, there's the Hall of Fame to promote, like Hogan trying to make another run as a Hall of Famer. So like, you know, all of that needs to, you know, you got to look at kind of all of that with the build too. Oh, low blow for Michaels with no referee. But Hogan not really selling it, which is kind of funny. Did he blade again, or is he still just bleeding?
He's just still bleeding.
But, you know, that's what – so I get it. But so, like, you, to your point from earlier, like, it almost – like, this was actually – that was the first year of Hogan Knows Best. It ran for apparently 4 seasons over 2-3 years. But that was, like, why wouldn't you, like, do the job – and make it a bigger deal? It just, it almost doesn't make sense. So Michael's lining up a chair shot at this point, about to hit Hogan. Gonna happen. We're waiting, just like you all. We're waiting for it.
Right on top of the damn head. Didn't really get his hands up either.
Grazed him, yeah. A leg shake, Hogan. Is he going to kick out? But Michael is not going for the pin at this point. Oh, boy. You just know how it's going to end.
Elbow drop.
Yep. Hits at that time with the camera flashes. So he's kind of quit overselling at this point, but I think he's fucking over it too. Like,
well, not too long after this, maybe a year, year and a half, was when he had the divorce. And so he was just in a really bad spot personally. And then he gets divorced and he's down on his money and then he signs with TNA. I mean, it's just crazy all the stuff that happened with Hogan over the years, man.
Yeah.
I just wish him and Vince, I wish he could have just stayed in the WWE, had a couple matches like this a year, he could have done it for 5 or 6 years, man.
Well, and there was like the family issues started coming out. His son was in the car accident. Oh. Like, yep.
Sweet Chin Music. Sweet Chin
Music.
That's it.
The band and got
That's
him.
It.
Should be it. He would hope.
1, 2. Hulking up.
Empowers him out.
Crowd seems to enjoy it.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, for the crowd loves Hogan. And there he is.
Always have, always will.
Indestructible. Yep. Yeah, and so dealing with that, and again, hulking up, still bleeding out all over the place. There's no other way to kind of say it. And Michael's, anything Michael's trying to do, not working. This one too, like we've been watching this. Is this, and there it is, the big boot, and Michael's, oh, what a sell. Just corkscrewing around the ring. Boy, it's almost hard to believe like what we're watching. Like it you know, like it should have ended with the Sweet Chin Music. Like it would have made sense, but one finisher never enough. And here comes the leg drop.
Place going nuts, man.
And that's it.
And we got the right Hulk Hogan music.
So important. Yeah.
I was right. His final WWE match was the following SummerSlam against Randy Orton.
Yep. It's weird to think. Is it? That's all, what it's all been like. Just random appearances since then.
Yeah. Yeah. He that 2006 was his final WWF match or WWE match against Orton at SummerSlam, which it was a fine match, 10-minute match in the middle of the card. Huh, and then his final, and I'm pretty sure his final match ever was in TNA.
Hmm. Well, we'll have to do some research on that one. There you go.
I'm almost positive it was that match with Sting, but I'm not. We'll have to find out. That's not why we're here. We're not here to talk about that one, but
we're not not this week. Yeah, but we will. So, be. So,
all right, place going nuts for Hogan. Let's transition into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right. What'd you think?
You know, it's just it had highs and lows. Like, you know, the Michaels selling was just kind of crazy. The right person, knowing what we know now, the right person didn't win. Not, you know, Michaels definitely putting the work in for both of them. No other way for me to cut it on that one. So what about you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I remember the overselling. It probably wasn't as bad as I remember, but it was still kind of annoying. I mean, the match was good. The match never stalled. I
it
mean,
didn't it
was,
stop. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for Hogan to go 20 plus minutes and, you know, there was one sleeper hold the entire rest spot, really the entire time. You know, place went nuts at the end. They came to watch Hogan when he won. You know, they're shaking hands afterwards. Again, I look at what could have been, and I wish this feud had been booked differently. I wish Hogan had been booked differently, different this time. And I just wish it was, I wish we would have gotten the Brock Lesnar, you know, hey, three or maybe four special attraction matches per year. And when possible, let's give him the young guys that can work, you know, let's give him Orton. Let's give him Michaels. Let's give him Kurt Angle.
Legends belt. I'm telling you, that's a, wow. There's too many belts. Give them a legends belt. Let them fight for that. Like, you know, they don't need to be in the title picture. Like Vince McMahon, feel free to take my idea. I'll take, you know, a nice check, but
I know not much happened after this with them. So cover it. And then
yeah.
I'm really curious what the write-ups were of this. 'Cause I have no idea.
So, like you said, like again, Brooke getting involved again. It was actually not until like the following summer, July 2006, Brooke returning. You had Randy Orton, you know, flirting with Brooke, and then Hogan attacking him.
And that all took place on like a Saturday night's main event on NBC. It was pretty cool. I remember being like, oh, is Hulk Hogan coming back?
Saturday night main event 33. Good job, my friend. And so, they had that, and so they had their match. It was actually that SummerSlam 2006, which, if you had to guess, and you probably get it right, Hogan won that one as well, too. If you remember, too, that was the poster that had Triple H and Shawn Michaels, like, grilling the wieners on the front of it, and so that was just kind of a fun one to have. But you also then had – so, and then Hogan left for TNA, or went back to TNA. So, you know, didn't really stick around, plain and simple, and then kind of life hit him like a freight truck. So you kind of had that, but then you had Michaels actually going out a feud with Chris Masters, which listeners to the show know that we've talked about that match before, and then eventually beating Masters at Unforgiven.
And that was a great match, and Sean was motivated, and you wouldn't believe a Chris Masters match could be that good, but go back in the archives, listen to that episode. We brought Chris Masters on. Really, really good interview, really good information, and then go watch that match. I mean, you're just going to be like, wait, this is a way better match than I would have ever expected.
Well, and that one, like, it is the old vet putting over the younger guy. And so, you know, kind of doing that work and things like that. And so, so then Michaels really, you know, kind of back and forth, had some different things happening, but eventually started feuding with Shane and Vince. And this led us into Marty Jannetty was involved for a little bit as well too. And after Michaels was kind of feuding with the Spirit Squad. And so, you know, a bunch of different things that were kind of happening there, but this eventually led to the Vince and Shane taking on Michaels and God in the tag team match. And so, you know, that one, oh boy. So, you know, just kind of how that played out. And then Michaels eventually was hurt, had a knee injury, left, but culminating, you know, eventually a little bit after this with Michaels, I mean, teamed with God, you know, it's a good tag team partner. I got to say that. So, and like you said, so much of this, like we talked about during the match, like two matches, like, you know, who knows, but you know, at the end of the day, Hogan was not about to lose. You know, Michaels, you know, built up all this heel heat. It's just, you know, when he didn't want to, just so many pieces of this, like almost the behind the scenes is almost better than, you know, what we got on camera, knowing what we know now. And so, you know, and as we saw in the match, like every time it was somersaults and cartwheels and rolling all over the place, like the guy just sold the hell out of everything. So, Tom, any thoughts on the aftermath before we move on to the reviews and write-ups here?
No, I'm just really curious how this one was reviewed.
So PWI, you want to take it? I interrupted you last time. You want to take a stab at where Sean fell on the PWI this year? It's probably higher than whatever you expect.
I was going to say 14th.
34. And so down the list. Hogan not ranked appropriately.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay, sure. There were 33 wrestlers better in the world that year. Okay.
Yeah. So this one and Hogan, all the wrestlers were better than him, which, sure. So this was kind of the write-up I had on this one. It was that and they had predicted prior to this match it being in the 3-star range, and saying, I figured it would be better because Shawn Michaels is so great. But the reality is that Hogan is indeed a 52-year-old man with a fake hip and two bad knees and no cardio, and that reality could not be overcome even by HBK. I would have loved to have been privy to all the maneuvering surrounding this match. Suffice to say, it was not a case of both guys shaking hands and agreeing from day one that where they were going to go, what they were going to do. Excuse me. Shawn Sean wanted two matches, the first of which he would win and the second of which Hogan would win. Hogan said no, only one match. Eventually, he said it would be open to two matches if he won both. The ego. I love it. Sean was not down with that. In the end, Hogan had creative control in his contract, so when he said he wanted to win clean with the leg drop of doom, well, that's what happened. So... 3.25 stars is where we ended up with this one.
Say that again. How many?
3.25.
3.25. Okay.
Yes. And so, but then also interesting, one of the takes here from one of the articles I was reading, it said it probably wasn't the best match of Hogan's career, which no shit, but it wasn't, but it was the best match he's had since probably the 80s, and Sean did his damnedest. So I'll start us here. I agree with, or no, I'll start us, whatever, I'm rolling that. Yeah, like again, like Hogan was moving reading this and then watching the matches we just did, Hogan was moving better than the write-up made it seem. Now at the same time, yes, I agree that like it's still, you know, there was still a lot that the match could have had, but at the same time, I don't think it was terrible either. I'm going to give it just a straight 7, I think, because like it's Hogan and Michaels, 7.5, because it is Hogan and Michaels. While the in-ring itself wasn't phenomenal and out of this world, you know, it was a good show. You know, and I, you know, I did enjoy watching the match. I think that was one of those. And I think that, you know, looking at all of it and just like we said, like, you know, we look at all pieces of it here and kind of whatever we want that, you know, the build to this, while not long, it didn't need a big build because these guys, their characters themselves carry them and that's all they needed. So I thought that was it. So I'm going to stick with 7.5 just overall because I don't fully agree with that write-up because I think he was better than the write-up gave him, but it still wasn't great. But at the same time, I don't expect Hogan to be bumping like crazy either. So, but Michaels did exactly what I would have expected in that situation and knowing what we know now. So I think a 7.5 is worthy of this one.
I have the same number. I'll also give it a 7.5. Look, Hogan moved around fine. At no point during that match were you like, oh gosh, Hogan looks like so old and so slow and beat up. I mean, he did what he had to do. He was Hulk Hogan. I mean, he looked like Hulk Hogan. I, you know, maybe a little slower than he did against The Rock. Okay, put it this way. Did he look much different in that match than he looked against The Rock at WrestleMania 18? No, he didn't. Okay, it was very similar. All right. And so, you know, Hogan was fine. Sean, it was obnoxious. He was jumping around, stuff like that. You know, it was not a great match. It could have been a great match. It could have been like that Rock match. Hogan didn't want to jump in a ring with Sean and map out the match. So they just kind of went out there and did it. They were both pissed off. It wasn't two guys that were like, hey, let's tear down the house. Let's make this magical. Let's kill it. They just... The desire from Hulk Hogan to make this a great wrestling match and make it a great feud simply was not there. That's what prevented this from really being excellent, right? I mean, it could have been the Hogan Rock type match. I mean, really, it could have been. Mm-hmm. It could have been a better match, maybe not a better moment, but a better match. So 7.5, disappointed. The build was pretty good. Not much in the aftermath. You got some intrigue behind the scenes. But, you know, I mean – here's the thing, like when you give it 3.25 stars, right? Think about this. They're in Washington, D.C., probably a lot of traffic getting out of the building. Everybody's leaving at the same time. Were people happy when they left?
Oh, yeah.
So then there you go. So it's like, I mean, people were like, oh, shit, man, we saw Hulk Hogan. Maybe the final time we'll ever see Hulk Hogan. Had a really good match, bled like crazy, you know, kicked out of the super kick. Fuck, that was awesome. That was great. Like, people are happy. I think sometimes these nerds that write these dirt sheets, they're sitting in their apartment, they're typing away, and they're not just being present. They're just not being fans. Because as a fan, it was pretty good, pretty entertaining, pretty damn fun.
I feel bad that they're not able to do that. And I'm sure like there's plenty of sports writers that, you know, they don't get into the game, right? They're just, they're covering it. And that's fine. I guess we need those types of people, but you have to take it with a grain of salt because you're not sitting there as a fan. You're not losing yourself in the moment. You're sitting there trying to, you know, review it and criticize it and make sure you hit 10,000 words for your newsletter and get your snarky comments in. So it's just a different dynamic, man. And that's why you and I sit here as fans. As fans, it was a 7.5. It was fun. Hogan looked good. Michaels carried him to a pretty solid match. It could have been better. It wasn't. That's it. I'm done.
Good stuff.
All right. So we saw my two favorites in the ring. We talked about how Hogan's run should have been better during this era, how he could have been used better. This feud should have been better. But I really enjoyed watching it, Jeff. I enjoy every episode we do. This is a lot of fun. I hope those that you are listening enjoy this. You get a kick out of it. Takes your mind off things for a few hours. Makes the commute to work or wherever it is that you're going a little bit shorter. I know I have my favorite podcasts that I listen to. I always appreciate them just kind of taking my mind off things and keeping me entertained. So I hope we're able to do that for you. But great episode, Jeff. This was a lot of fun. Anything else for us?
The band is tuned, my friend. Let's send us home.
Well, and do you want to talk about what match we're covering next week?
What are we covering next week?
I know what we're covering. We just discussed it. We're covering Bret Hart, British Bulldog.
Across the pond. That's
across
right.
Across
yeah.
the pond.
Yes.
For SummerSlam 92, man. That's going to be a really, really fun show. I'm pumped for that. So, as always, Jeff, Tom, this is the Payoff Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.